This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, March 30th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we talk about what is happening at the Ranfurly Home. And in order to Catherine Mitchell, who's a volunteer, and turn up Catherine's mic for me, please, who's a volunteer and active member at the Ranfurly Home, and she brought guests. Mm-hmm. She brought guests for me to speak to, and I'm learning some new stuff. The Ranfurly Home has a brand ambassador, and we have a former resident there, a lovely lady who I'm going to be speaking to and getting to know, because I always wonder, like, what happened to people who used to live there? Do they become successful, or is their life continuously challenged, right? And also I have nurse Deborah Johnson, who is the resident nurse at the home, who takes care of the kids in terms of whatever happens there. So I want to get to know exactly their roles at the Ranfurly Home. And of course, when we have such guests, we have Catherine, who tends to lead these types of conversation. But before we do that, I'm going to go straight to a break. Right? So when I get back, we'll have continuous conversations straight across the board. That's good?
Sounds good.
So that's good. So, producer, let's go to our first break, and then we come in and have Catherine help me to know who is Bernishka Bullard and the big things that this Bernishka Bullard is doing. What is pronounced Bullard?
Bullard.
What
do you say? Well, Bullet, but it's Bullard.
Bullard. Okay, I just want to pronounce it properly.
Elegant.
Okay. And we'll be right back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here, and then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Mm-hmm. And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM, right? And I want to start off with this. Run For You Home is having an event, right? And I want to hear about the event, and then I want to hear the story about who I plan to bring back, of course, about the brand ambassador. And then I'll go back to Nurse Johnson to understand exactly what the role is there. But what is, I go to Catherine. Yes. What is happening on Saturday?
So first of all, I have to say happy 70th birthday to my mommy. Mm-hmm. And now moving on to official radio things. Now I'm so thrilled to be here on behalf of Ranfurly. This is not anything COVID related. This is Queen's College Sports Day voice. So please excuse me mm-hmm. and my huskiness. But I'm thrilled to be here with Nurse Deborah Johnson, who's been with us through all the COVID horrors that the home and the island has survived, and Miss Vrindishka Bullard, who I've known for almost 14 years now, who are both great ambassadors of the home. We're excited that the Ranfurly Home, as I think most of the community, is one of those safe places that have existed for decades in the Bahamas. It was birthed out of terrible fires that happened in the early 1950s when children were displaced and left sleeping in cardboard boxes on streets, and Lady Ranfurly saw a need and galvanized support within the community to create this home, and volunteers, community members have carried it ever since. I mean, on the radio today, we hear how much we care about our children. We're talking about the incident with the police and the fear we saw and the protection of society. We're talking about having a men's day on Saturday, which I hope people support also, and to get our boys and men out there and take care of them. We're talking about Light It Up Blue to take care of our kids with autism. But Ranfurly is that cat is a place that, like none other, is the only private home in the Bahamas that gets the least government funding to keep its doors open, that has to continually welcome and open members of the community into our gates so that we can help our children that don't have other advocates survive and thrive. Our goal is to have healthy, contributing, constructive citizens, no matter what their childhood traumas and backgrounds have been, that can go back into society. So part of that initiative is that they need to give back. We have a wonderful nurse here. We'll talk about how she created this health day of giving back a service to the community. And we have, again, a resident here that will be talking about her experiences coming out of the home, some of the challenges, some of the growth opportunities. But to remember that the home exists because there's real need. I mean, most of the time on Guardian Radio, we're talking about the ills of the society and the things that are hurting us and things that are going wrong. Well, this is something that we're trying to do to help correct that. Of course, the ideal is that every child is in a healthy, whole, and happy home. But in the stead of that, where that doesn't exist, we're going to create and continue to hold this space that can make sure that children still have a chance at the future. So I thank Guardian Radio and Signori for allowing us to have these stories and these narratives present here, and really have such a beautiful, healthy, happy, and helpful event coming up this Saturday, which I know is replete with activities that are family-focused and community-focused. Because no matter what anyone else says about the Bahamas, we are a giving and generous community, and I bleed Bahamian. So thank you, ladies, for joining me here.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so again, what is happening Saturday?
Okay, do you mind if I go ahead? Okay, on Saturday, we have partnered with Center for Non-Communicable Diseases in the Bahamas. It's a part of the community health program in the clinics where they deal with non-communicable diseases, the prevention of things such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and those kind of things. And so in an aim for us to be able to give back to this, decided, you know what, let's just have a health fair where persons can come in. Some persons aren't able to get to the physician's office, but they can make it to a health fair on a Saturday when they're off from work, and they can come in and get blood pressure checks, blood sugar check, cholesterol check as well. And we'll also be offering immunizations for adults or children who are maybe behind in their immunization. Parent can take them during the week. They can come there on a Saturday and get that done as well.
Well, that's something big.
Yes, it is. And CNCD has graciously consented.
And free.
Yes, it's free. There's no charge. Of course, as a nonprofit organization, we accept donations, but it's free. People have always been giving into the lives of the children of Ranfurly, and this is a way for us to give back. The children are participating. They're excited. They're looking forward to it. And so we're also looking forward to being able to give back to the persons that have been so gracious and giving to us as a home. and to the
so
children.
This coming on the theme, love that child.
Love that child.
And this is like a reciprocation of the love and generosity that Bohemians have given to Ranfurly.
Yes.
And you're reciprocating the give back to the community.
Yes, sir.
And you're saying that on Saturday, this Saturday.
This Saturday.
At what time again?
Of 9 and 2.
9 and 2.
Yes, sir.
Parents, young parents can come and get free immunization for the kids.
Sir. Yes, sir.
For free.
Yes, sir. No charge.
That's big, especially if you're behind with your immunization. You can bring your card and say, come and do that.
Yes, sir.
And you are the nurse.
Yes, I'm the nurse.
Assigned to Ranfurly Home.
Actually, I am not assigned by anybody to Ranfurly Home. I work independently for Ranfurly Home for Children.
Okay.
I retired from the government service in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I have been other places, but decided that this will be my settlement for now at Ranfurly Home for Children.
We are blessed to have her.
Yes. And just for general information, during COVID, where were you?
I was at Ranfurly Home for Children.
You was locked in? Because I know you couldn't go there.
I was hired the week when the first COVID
she
hit.
Really, she really.
I was there.
She was and in so, the thick of the battle.
Yeah.
If we talk about trench warfare, this was one of our soldiers.
So when Ranfurly locked their doors, because I know apparently off from the public, you were in-house.
I was in-house. Stuck I lived with the children.
You lived
with the children,
I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
Only verbally consulting with the COVID team, and but on resident, on administering care, and luckily, blessingly, we have not had any of our kids admitted to hospital. They recovered quickly and they were not ill.
Okay. Yeah. And you were spearheading this initiative that's happening on Saturdays, this health fair.
Yes, sir.
Love the child.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good.
I just want to interject quickly. When we talk about community heroes, this is also a nurse that came on in the wake of Dorian. Dorian, we took on a lot of the kids that had been displaced because of the hurricane, and some of them had high medical needs, like were wheelchair bound. And we had persons like Nurse Johnson that joined our team in the wake of that and really met and went above and beyond anything that a pay grade could do. So I have to salute that as a Bahamian I admire.
Okay.
Thank you.
And let me talk to what they call a brand ambassador. I'm not even sure that Ranfurly Home could have a brand ambassador. That you are a brand ambassador is because of your success. And you were once a resident at Ranfurly Home.
Correct.
And I want to hear that narrative, and then we can come back on what exactly you'll be doing as a brand ambassador, or what does it mean for the residents staying there now to see you doing things. I want to hear as much as you can, but briefly, how did you get to the Ranfurly Home to be a ward of the state?
Okay, I can share that. I entered the home at a very young age. I would have experienced a few unfortunate circumstances that led me there. A little bit about my background. My father died when I was a baby, so I never even saw a picture of him or got to see his face. And my mom was an alcoholic that was incapable of raising me. So I entered the home pretty fairly young and was taken on by family at one point, but that didn't work out. I lived in the Nazareth Center, Children's Emergency Hostel, the Elizabeth Estate Children's Home, and then ended up in Ranfurly.
So you went through the entire system?
Yes.
Because I know the Nazareth Home is for young toddlers.
Yes, exactly. They have from newborn babies out of the hospital up until 11 years old before they're transitioning into junior school. So very difficult childhood, but I was led to Ranfurly. And, I always tell people that that was the place where I got a second chance of life because they truly cared. I got a lot. I had mentorship. Catherine said earlier that she knows me for almost 14, 15 years. She didn't go into detail, but she was very instrumental in assisting me and helping me get to this place. Acted as a mentor, a mother, a friend, everything that I needed her to be. And I just took the opportunities I got and decided that I will change my life. And so I've done that with the help of.
And I know that the Ranfurly Home has a number of sponsors for the children where they can have opportunity to get socialized, to go to different schools and take advantage of things.
Yes.
But I always question, what happens to you after you reach the age of maturity?
Yes.
Right? When you can no longer stay at the Ranfurly Home. And this is where that ambassadorship that you have, the title they call you, right, comes in.
Yes.
What happened to you after you reached the age of maturity? I mean, in terms of the system.
Yes, thank you for that question. I think that's really important because at Ranfurly, we're always concerned about the well-being of the kids when they're there. But the transitional period is super, super important. It's like you help the kids, but you don't want them to go back into those negative, unhealthy environments. So when I left Randfleet, unfortunately, working at the time on a few transitional homes, mm-hmm. but they weren't built yet.
Yes.
So I had to live with some missionaries, actually, which was good because it really helped ground me in my faith and gave me an opportunity to attend university and just plan the way forward.
What do you mean by missionaries?
Like actual missionaries that spread the word of God. They're from the U.S., but, mm-hmm. You know, did a lot of work in the Family Islands and then in Nassau. Their only stipulation was that you are enrolled in university and you're doing something positive, giving back to the community. And so I've had to do that. Like, so it's ministry work along with, you know, attending university.
And you mentioned university.
Yes.
So you finished high school, whatever high school you went to.
Yes.
So when you say university, how did you get to university?
Okay, so one of the great things about being at Randfleet is that there is a scholarship available for all of the children that are leaving our care at University of the Bahamas. Now, we do know that not all of our kids may be interested, but the opportunity is there. Two of the things we assist with is the drive-in lessons, we assist with their education and them finding jobs. So I took the opportunity and went to University of the Bahamas, received the scholarship under the Life for Key Foundation, and I completed my Bachelor's of Psychology there.
So you're educated. You have a Bachelor's of Psychology?
Yes, and last year, August, I actually finished the master's from Walden University with a master's in psychology with a concentration in social psych.
You have a master's degree, and you basically went through the system.
Yes,
went
so
through,
proud.
And I see now why they have you as a brand ambassador to mentor the children there who may think, man, woe is me.
Yes.
Nothing good can come out of me. I'm here. Right.
I know that it's a very humbling experience. When I was a kid, the one thing that I would tell, you know, Catherine and the persons around me was that I wanted to help. I knew that I wanted to study psychology and I knew I wanted to come back to Randfleet to assist. I did a lot of volunteer work for the home before coming on board in 2020. So, you know, I'm happy to say that I've done that. And it's just very humbling to be there and to answer those difficult questions and be there to give support to the girls and create that safe place where they can come to me and confide in me. So, you know, it's very fulfilling.
And nobody could do it better than Bernishka or someone who's walked that journey. But just, and not to take away from her story, because it's the most powerful testament we could have to what the home wishes to do. But one of the gaps we have with our children that have been in the system is that one of the factors is the fact that a lot of them come in without status and leave without status, but that's a different show. But that we don't have two transitional programs. So Randfleet Family has been trying to build these transitional homes. The children coming out of our homes and other homes we hope in the future, including family, other island homes, will have somewhere they can go that is safe. You know, as a dad, of parent, of teenagers, that just because they turn 18 doesn't mean and now fly independently.
So let's pause there and concentrate there before we go back to Bernishka. And I was talking earlier to Bernishka Ballard, who was a resident. And now you work at the home as a psychologist?
Well, as a brand ambassador, so that's basically being the face of the home. But I do provide a lot of sessions, which ties in my psychology degrees for the kids.
Okay, now let's go back to you, Catherine, because I know you volunteer and work and active at the Randfleet home.
Serve on the board.
And serve on the board. In fact, your whole family tends to be intimately involved. Recently, the home has constructed some transitional homes. And I wanted to have an update on that, one, where it stands, and why is it important to have transitional homes, and without the transitional home, what does it mean for the residents who are there?
I would say, beyond important, it's essential that we have support that continues to buoy our kids when they come out of these systems. So it launched it was supposed to be launching this month after Dorian hit, so Dorian came and kind of kneecapped us a bit on the publicity of it, but no, it's been a project that for years we've been fundraising towards and having our eyes on, knowing that when our kids, as I was saying, If you have teenagers, you know they don't just turn 18 and magically become independent. They still need support socially, academically, as far as their career advice goes, as far as their moral leanings go. And so that we're hoping that giving the kids an opportunity to have somewhere safe, somewhere affordable, because hardly anywhere is on Nassau anymore, for a few years before they go into the big wide world, and not necessarily returning to the toxic or abusive situations they were taken out of to be placed in the home, is more than important. And our dream is to have it open to more than just children leaving the Ranfle system, but all the children's homes in the Bahamas, because all of the kids matter to us. And again, those coming from family islands that need support in that area. We're still fundraising towards the end of paying off the second transitional home, but we have a lot of land we're blessed with in that beautiful, shady part of Mackey Street, and there's room for further growth. So I think that having that program that takes you from, you know, high school to functioning adult is something that every youth needs. And it's how we're going to keep, I mean, Mr. Williams was just talking before about it's heartbreaking every time he sees that the prisons are filled with young men under the age of 35. We're trying to help be part of the solution that keeps that from being a repeating circle.
Mm-hmm. How many transitional homes do you have right now?
I think so we have two that, you know, was built a few years ago that can host four girls or four boys. And we just finished constructing six more. But like mm-hmm. Catherine say, you know, we really are trying to pay that off. And so
double occupancy on the second set. Yeah.
Yes. And those will be, we can host more kids. And, you know, that's really important. One year, actually last year, we had about seven kids that left us at one time. And, you know, in that situation, you don't want to have to choose which kid you allow to stay there. So, I mean, we still need help.
Yeah, to know they're safe, to know they're supported, to know they continue to receive community coaching and mentorship. And one of the things is we don't want to be an isolated experience for our children. Mm-hmm. You can see Bronishka thriving here, but as Nurse Johnson's doing, she's like, how can we be part of a wider, healthy community? Mm-hmm. You know, it hurts me when I listen to the nonstop radio shows talking about all the ills. So we're like, here, where is the healing? Where's the growth? Where's the building? Where's the rebuilding? And so initiatives like what's happening on Saturday and what Pranisha continues to live in her daily existence, her life alone is a testament to the fact that there are success stories and there is beauty that rises from the ashes.
How many residents are in the transition home now?
At the moment, we are.
So right now, we have three girls that are in the transitional home.
And when you say girls, these are young women, like 18-ish. I'm just trying to understand what is happening.
I should say young women.
Okay.
Stop saying so, girls, but we have three young women.
So these are persons who went through the system, ran fully home.
Yes.
Became the age of maturity, which is like 18-ish.
Exactly.
Well, finished school.
Exactly.
And now they are transitioning out of the home.
Yes.
And now you have a temporary home or transitional home.
A launch pad.
Exactly.
And how long do they get to stay there?
Well, they get to stay, we give them a contract for about 2 years, but that can also be expanded. And during that time, we help them, you know, with finding employment and going to school.
Like tertiary education.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah. And the transitional home, they are adults. And so although it's attached to the home, they still have their independence. And
so
I think that's really important.
And
exactly.
And their bills.
Yes. So
there's price-controlled bills, but the fact that you're getting used to paying a rent, paying a light fee.
So they pay rent. So
yes.
Rent. Okay.
But it's managed, so it's manageable. Mm-hmm. But the idea that when you leave, you'll actually have real life and adult skills that will assist you in the wider world.
But let's get back to you, Bronishka Bullard, who is the brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. I want to understand what is brand ambassador entails, right? And I want to go still back into your story in terms of your transition from a young woman to an adult. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear that story of what happens. Mm-hmm. So the listening audience can appreciate that. But again, what is a brand ambassador? What does the brand ambassador does for the Ranfle home?
Okay, so the brand ambassador is the face of the home. It's someone that should be an example for the kids to share awareness or shed light on the practices at the home, our mission, and just bring connect persons to the home, donors, local, international, volunteers, trying to grow that program. And then, you know, my title expands a little bit beyond because I've also done administration, and I've also also do session with the kids. And I think at Radfully, all of the members of staff and the team there can attest that although you may come in with one specific title, although when you're dealing with kids, there's multiple roles. So you act as a mother, you act as a father, as a friend. So it encompasses so much when you're dealing. Yeah, like I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking. Yeah. We have two cooks on board, but sometimes I was in the kitchen last week doing lasagna and Alfredo. So, you know, it expands.
So you're a part of the board also?
No, okay. I'm not a part of the board.
No, I'm just trying to understand it because I know Catherine's a part of the board. Yes. And I want to see where you fit in. So you're a hired brand ambassador.
Yes,
and of course
that's
you have
on
intimate
team.
That's on team. And of course you have intimate knowledge because you were also a resident.
Yes.
So let's talk more about your matriculation from being a resident, going to primary high school, and going to COB. And the challenges that a young adult, a young woman, faces. Or have to overcome doing that, being in the school or in the system?
I always reflect back on that period of time. I know that the mentors and the social workers that were around me at the time did the best that they could to make the process as seamless, but it's terrifying. When you're in high school, I remember being in grade 12, I was a prefect at Temple Christian. That was also paid by someone from the public, which was, you know, I'm so grateful. But I remember at the time being so nervous about the next step. Instead of, you know, focusing on graduating, I was focusing on what am I going to do with my life? You know, how can, you know, I achieve success? And, you know, of course, that's my definition of what success is, and having a place to live. So one of the things I like to do is to have monthly sessions with our kids to be able to answer those questions, especially for the older kids that are moving up, because I remember those feelings and how nerve-wracking it could be.
I'm terrified now, no. Just thinking of it. I'm 18. They're going to put me out. They're going to put me out and I have no family. And this is the only family I know. And if they put me out, I'm going to fail because, you know, yeah. I'm just an average student. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it at the university. I don't want to necessarily start a job now. I want to develop myself. And I want to know, is there a support system? And it sounds like there is.
There definitely is. You know, when I lived at the Elizabeth Estates home and a few of the others, I was always like much younger. And like I said, like I was able to cross-reference a lot from the homes and just being at Radfully. So one of the main things that I push is to have those conversations with them to just help them, assist them in planning the way forward. I noticed in the past that a lot of kids were leaving and unfortunately going back into displaced homes. And that's not, you know, it's not healthy in it's not healthy. It's not what they need. And so, you know, that's just an initiative that I've really pushed.
And when I got involved with Radfully back in the day, it was the fact that there were children coming out of Radfully and then having children that were going into the home systems and seeing that.
No, repeat that part again so I can understand.
Not just Radfully, but it's
No, we talk about Radfully. Okay. And I know it's just isolated.
But it's not
a general
it's
thing.
Not a guaranteed success story. The fact that you couldn't come out of these systems and fail. You can definitely flop, not fly, that if you don't have the support, if you don't have the relationships in the community, and we really try to push that. We try to push that with church relationships, mentorships. Brinishka is working on growing our mentorship programs in the near future. And again, like what Nurse is working on for Saturday, reaching in the community, making those links, making those ties, finding those internships, finding the people that are willing to work with certain children and with certain career interests and, you know, foster them, give them chances to try that out. Those are the things that help you be successful afterwards, just like any child in any family. I mean, I have 12th graders in my life that meet the day with terror at times, and they have healthy homes and support to go home to because there's such an insecurity as far as what's my next step. So we're hoping by the time you get to that, you have your Rolodex. I mean, that's old people talk. You have your WhatsApp groups and phone of friends. You have someone you can call and say, you know, nurse, I'd love to shadow someone in the hospital, or I'm interested in construction or landscaping or radio, and having someone who say, come on in, let's try to give you a chance. Let's see if we can get you the training you need to go for it. So it's not a surprise that we have a flight plan that builds your toolkits. So the time you're leaving, you can swim. You know how to fill a resume. You know how to fill out a job application, which can be a shock to even educated people. And so, and you have this toolkit that gives you a chance. We know, again, anyone from healthy households can face challenges going forward, but we want to give you the best possible fighting chance leaving, and that will include housing with the transitional home.
I have two texts here. Both are long-distance phone numbers, right? Bahamians who live abroad, who listen to Guardian Radio. We have all kind of international people listening to Guardian Radio. Who wants to help? They said, wait, I just appreciate the fact that Ranfurly needs financial support.
Yes.
Of course it needs financial support. And they were asking, how can they donate? Do you need financial support? How can they send money? And I know you're part of the board.
I just want to emphasize, I mentioned it earlier in the show, but we're a private home, and even though we can house the largest population of kids that out of any home at that age group, and that most of the kids that age out through the system will come to us at some point, we get the least amount of government funding. We have the least amount of government funding. So we rely a lot on private gifts, donors, grants, to keep us going, to keep us afloat, to keep the lights on. We pay our BPL bill. Nothing is free just because we're a home. We pay our bills. And so we do have a website you can go on to donate. We have a phone numbers attached to that. I think it's www.ranfurlyhomes.org, but yes. I'll double check. But if you can Google us and it will come up, and so you can go ahead and put that in. But if you want to talk to someone, if you want to talk to a Branishka, you can call the home and you can find out more details on the programs that we offer and the things that we're doing that continue to reach out into the community. But again, we're not trying to create generations of victims here. We're trying to create empowered, thriving, prosperous, beautiful, traveling, happy, excited, lovely individuals that have fun, have friends, and one day will be healthy, happy households of their own. Again, that's why one of the reasons we're doing things like our health fair on Saturday.
Okay. I want to ask Nurse Johnson one question. I'm going to go back to Catherine. So this question is just baiting you to answer this question, Catherine, so be prepared for it,
right?
I want to know generally the numbers in terms of male, female. The majority of the population is what? Male, female at the home?
We have a larger female population. I think it's actually even now.
Yeah.
Because we're 24, so it's 12 and 12.
Okay. And now, at least I know it's 24 residents at the home now. And the reason why I asked that question, and going now to you, Catherine, is in terms of earlier we had Mr. Dave Williams who's doing programs to mentor boys.
Yes.
Right? And I want to know if there are persons out there with their own specialized programs. And I know the Ranfurly Homes scrutinizes everyone who comes and volunteers. They go in detail to find out your background because, you know, you have wards that you have to take care of. If there are programs out there that want to mentor children, want to be a part of the Ranfurly Homes system, right? How do they go about that?
Absolutely. You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up because we have had a tough few years with COVID and the ability to allow people to come physically into the home, and that's clearing up a little bit now. But we welcome community partnerships now. Remember, these are the children that are under social services. They're wards of the state, and so we are given care of them, and we welcome these children with us. We don't turn children away. But we are always willing to work with community partnerships. We have so many groups that have helped us out. Kiwanis, the Give Back Girls, Rotary over the years, tons of fraternities, sororities, even like Disney has helped us out. We have visitors and tourists that come in, groups that say this is something we're willing to do, a project we want to work on. We want to plant a garden. We want to help you with chickens so you can hatch eggs. We want to do a sports program. We want to help your kids join this club or that club. We're willing to do that. You do have to go through protocols and meet standards because as any parent, we are going to make sure we know where our children are and who they're with. But our doors are not closed when it comes to inviting people to come in and the kind of people that can be committed with stickability. I like Mr. Williams, I actually talked to him briefly in the past, but to have groups that can come in to mentor with consistency and with reliability, or even to do a day off. Like sometimes people say, I can't show up every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, but we'll do a paint day, or we'll do a vision board day, or we'll do a cooking class day. Yes, we need those. We welcome those. And remember, these are teenagers who've been in lockdown. So if you want to sponsor a day for them to go to Fusion over the Easter, we don't have bowling anymore. But if you want to find a way that they can go out and get socialized in a healthy way, we would be thrilled to have those ideas.
I can
come
actually
to us.
Send money there and say, this for you all to go to the movies?
Yeah, absolutely. Brunishka would be happy to receive that.
Okay. Yes.
No, but I didn't know that.
Like, these are, everyone's like, how do we discuss this? I'm like, these are normal functioning teenagers. They want to play basketball. They want to interact. They want to talk to you. They mm-hmm. want to get out of the home and the, you know, in their version of lockdown in life, just like any active children. And also, we want to teach them how to give and interact with the community, which again, to say that we're not setting people up for lifelong victimhood and a handout. But we're saying, no, we've got things to offer here. I mean, sometimes we get criticized because people say, your children look good. Looks like their shoes are new. They're going to private schools. And I'm like, we are trying to give them the best and sharpest tools in their kit so they can survive and thrive. And again, one of those initiatives is having them contribute back to a community so that they can feel empowered and a part of it.
You mentioned contribute back to the community. And going back to you, Brunishka Bullard, who is the brand ambassador and, of course, a former resident. And I always come back to you because I want to understand what typically happens. Former residents, for lack of a better word, graduates, right, of the program, right? Is there some kind of WhatsApp group, community group, a bonding to say, hey, I was once a part of the program and I do this as a unit with my fellow persons who were once residents. Does that exist?
Alumni group?
Alumni group. Yes. Look at you. Yes, the alumni group. Go ahead.
Yes, we actually do. Our former president, Alexandra Mailis Lynch, who is also still on the board and plays an integral role in the home, she actually created a group a few years ago, and we all stay connected. When I post the monthly newsletters, I send it over to them so they understand what's going on. If there's an opportunity in the group and I feel like it fits a specific person, we would put job posts in it and, you know, stay close. One of my personal goals for this year is to expand the alumni, because right now we have like a lot of former residents that are kind of like in my age bracket, but there's a lot of persons that have gone on, you know, before and really successful. I did a newsletter last year highlighting one of our young ladies that were there before and went on, you know, got her degree in finance, is at Dell Tech.
There's Bank. Another one like you.
It's so many success 20. Stories, like yeah. Damien as yeah. well. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to connect all of us. I had an experience 2 weeks ago handling volunteers. There was a lady that came to the home and she said, you know what? I want my daughter to come here and do community service and be a part of your fine organization because I am a former resident of the home. And she's like, you know, like a lot older. And I, you know, was listening to her story, how she's so successful. She has a business. I think the daughter's at Queens College. So maybe you may know her, Catherine. But I just thought like, that is so amazing. Like there's so many persons that have come and gone and did a great job. Not all of us, you know, become statistics. And there's a lot of us that are thriving. So just uniting us back together, Catherine.
And you struggled for a word there when we said alumni group, people, residents. But we'd like it to mean, what we'd like it to say one day is family member. We'd like it not to sound like it's okay. a school or institution. Yeah. We'd like it to be a Ranfurly family. Now, there's challenges with that. And again, the hope is that one day Ranfurly Homes for Children is empty, that we close our doors, that we don't exist. And not because we're bankrupt, but because we have a community of healthy, happy, contained families that can take care of themselves. So that is the effort and that is the reach, that we create a family atmosphere.
Okay, so back to you, nurse, because you know you've been quiet for a while, and I know we're here for a particular reason, and I go with that. Yeah. Why did you feel the need to have Ranfurly as an institution give back to the community?
As I said earlier, Ranfurly is a nonprofit, so we've had over the years a lot of giving, and if I go back to the Bible, I remember when God healed 10, and only one came back and say thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is our thank you.
for what you've done for us. And prevention, the main goal of CNCD is prevention and early detection.
So if we can do what we can to prevent or detect diseases early to avoid having chronic illnesses, we can have a healthier Bahamas by doing this. And so my aim was these very people that give back to us, if they can walk into the doors and come and get their blood pressure check, blood sugar check, and cholesterol check, or we'll be able to then probably detect something that they didn't even know existed, because we've heard, I don't know if you've heard the term before, high blood pressure is a silent killer. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be walking around feeling healthy and fine and not knowing that your blood pressure skyrocketed. And so our aim is to be able to assist with maybe finding these things out early, getting early treatment, and then preventing even more diseases, because most times one non-communicable disease may lead to another. So our aim is to detect early and then prevent even further harm being caused by these diseases.
And I know that this event is going to be housed at the home.
Yes, it is.
And I know that the home is usually a closed environment.
Yes.
Right? To protection of the ward and the family that is there, right? Is this going to be an open house day that people can walk through and get asked questions? Or this is a special session, say, come over here.
No, actually, we would like to be able to show them this is Ranfurly. This is the home that you've been supporting over the years, or what you would like to support in the time that's coming, so they can see what is going on there, what Ranfurly is about. Some of our kids, they can interact if they want to. So it's not branded an open house session, but we can be able to allow persons to be able to see.
So let's explore that some more, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of persons who are interested in helping, sponsoring, knowing, understanding what happens at Ranfurly. So you're saying that they can come, since we have an open house now, you can come on this particular day.
Yes.
Please.
And
great way to have a feel and look at the home and say, hey, I know somewhere I might be able to affect positive change. And not everyone can do the, I'll do a reading session with the kids on a weekly basis, but you might be a landscaper who says, hey, you need that front lawn fixed.
Yeah.
Hey, you need that gate fixed. Hey, I see that I could help here. I'd love to work on them on a certain art project. So there's always a foothold in. Or I'd like to have a child intern with me when they come out. There's so many ways to get involved with the home, and this is a great way to have a look, get something for free, which we always love.
Yes.
And Aaron was like saying it's so good to have free events that we can do with our families.
I like free things.
Yes, free things, but also it's such a positive and healthy thing, genuinely. And we have great kids. We have great kids, and we have a great team. So
the kids would be involved.
Yes, the kids would be involved as well. We will be also selling healthy things like water, fruit bowls, and fruit bags.
Smoothies.
And fruits, smoothies as well.
Yeah.
So because it's a healthy
smoothies with sugar inside it?
No. Healthy smoothies. So we made fresh in front of you from fruits and vegetables. Snatch and Go will be sponsoring that part of it for us. Okay. And her staff will be coming along to make these smoothies.
Oh, see, that changes things. It seems as if you have resident sponsors also. So you say Snatch and Go.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone else too who's going to be there? Or that's what one that you're mentioning now that we can
Yeah, that's the one that is actually sponsoring the smoothies for us. And then the others will be effort of Ranfurly children, Ranfurly staff, putting things together. We also have a garden in the back that we'll be taking. Yes, we'll be taking our vegetables from the garden as well and putting those on display and for sale as well.
So persons who do home gardening might want to donate one or two plants could drop that off too?
Yes, definitely.
See, like giving all kinds of ideas.
Yes,
all kinds of ideas. As you know, I have my home garden, but my stuff for me though. I mean, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll come and look at what you have.
Yes.
You know, and compare and contrast and say, okay, I need some of those peppers.
Yes.
But no problem. But I'm excited. I'm excited that you open up the place that Bahamians can come and see where their money is being spent to those who are donating.
Yes.
And also can see how they can add and contribute to the organization.
And we pride ourselves on transparency. We all want to give effect. We give in this country. We give. I mean, during Dorian, it was like the feeding of the 5,000. Every time we thought we wouldn't have a meal, someone would show up. We look for mattresses. Cartwright's betting was there. You know, we give in this country. But we also try to show where the money goes, and it all goes to the home. It all goes to our children. And as a nonprofit, we're proud to present our numbers to anyone interested. But this is, again, come on in, step through the gates. You'll see need, but you'll also see, I hope, a positive area that you can affect change in a country that does need us to continue to step up as Bahamians and say, no, we're marching on this road to 50 proudly, and we are
we are happy to continue to build this nation together.
I got a text asking more about the residents, right? You mentioned you have 12 persons there now?
24,
sorry. Yes. The text wanted to know, like, the age bracket if per school, like high school, primary school, who in the university, who transitioning?
Yes, so we typically have kids that are in the junior school to high school, so that's usually at about 12, 13-ish until they're 18. And then, of course, there's the transitional home after.
Okay.
Sorry, that was me.
No problem. So the majority of persons are junior high school.
Yes, so that's teenagers.
No problem.
No, we don't have the little kids. We get the teenagers, which is a joy.
But let's talk about that, because I didn't know there was a separate system, because I know there's a Nazareth home, right? And I knew that was for toddlers.
Yes.
Right? And I know this is not necessarily where y'all come in, because you're a specific area. Uh-huh. But is a Nazareth, what else is there?
So there's the Nazareth Center and in Millennium Gardens. And then there's also the Trinity Emergency Hostel that's out there in Carmichael. Mm-hmm. They host like newborn babies and primary school age. And then the Elizabeth Estate Children's Home. And then Ranfurly, we take the teenagers or junior up until like high school.
Yeah. Okay. And I know Catherine mentioned when they had Hurricane Dorian.
Yes.
And they had to close the Grand Bahama one.
Yes.
Right? They all came and stayed where?
The Ranfurly homes for children.
A lot of them came to us. Of course, some of the homes
hosted children as well, but we had the majority of the children from Dorian.
Okay. And you see, I'm branching off to different questions now just because you mentioned it earlier. There's a home in Abaco?
There's home in Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Island.
Sensal. No, I didn't know this, that there's a home in Cat Island. There's homes in Family Islands in general. I didn't know.
I think Luther also has a home, and I visited this one there.
Okay.
Yeah, because years ago, they didn't have one. A little bit about me is that I actually grew up in Luther for a little bit, and they didn't have one, so I had to be flown into Nassau to go into the home here. So I think they would have worked on that, as Nurse Johnson said. So that's great.
Yeah, we've received a lot of the Cat Island children as they become older and need to go to high school. Sometimes they'll send them over here if they want to pursue, you know, further education. So we do work with homes like that also. I mean, in the dream of Ranfurly, well, I didn't say dream, because I said the happy ending is that it wouldn't need to exist, but it'd be Ranfurly homes for children, so it would exist elsewhere and be able to meet needs throughout the islands, because, of course, the problems are throughout the islands.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
But Ranfurly, I think we do a very good job, you know, to stay connected to the other ones. I think Dorian definitely proved that, because once the kids were displaced, we opened them with our arms, were
share resources
and share. And even with the Cat Island home, you know, this past Christmas and several Christmases, Catherine in particular made sure to put together a lot of presents. Gifts and presents to send on the boat for the kids. And so we all act as a team. And if there's something that's donated to us that at Ranfurly that we can't use because it's for a younger kid, we always send it over and distribute it. Nice. Always.
Nice. Let's go back to Nurse. Nurse, I need to know about the event happening on Saturday. So you need to go in detail. Time, place, where, who's going to be there, who you want to come there.
Okay.
You know? Go ahead.
Okay, it's our inaugural. Somebody texted me that and said it's inaugural. So it's in Ranfurly Homes inaugural.
Inaugural means first, right?
Yes.
Okay. All these big words.
Yes,
it's the first one.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's an inaugural health fair under the theme, which is Ranfurly's general theme on Love That Child.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be coining that as our team as well, Love That Child Health Fair. And we've been canvassing the neighborhood businesses and residents and giving out flyers and giving out letters, inviting the neighborhood and anybody out there that wants to come along and join us for our health fair. It's between the hours of 9 to 2. CNCD is bringing a big team of persons. We will have 10 persons from the immunization department as well as CND combined to be able to assist us with doing the blood pressures, the blood sugars, as well as the cholesterol levels as well. And then giving out immunizations, as I would have said. One physician and 9 nurses will be there. So we're going to have a full team. Professional people.
I just have to give my little shout out to all the nurse heroes that are, especially our PMH nurses and all of the people who've survived the the trials of the last few years. You really inspire us. So thank you so much. And you can't know the burden they have carried for our children and helped us through so many things that seemed insurmountable at the time. So thank you so much.
And this Saturday, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Catherine, for bringing everyone together to be on the show today. I want to thank Nurse Deborah Johnson, who is a resident nurse that works at the Renfrew Home. And I'd like to congratulate and thank Branishka Bullard for a success story and sharing it with her life and transition with us. And thank you very much. But anyway, this has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri.
Thank you, Ms. Nuri.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Definitely my pleasure. Have a wonderful day.